This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
By Commonwealth Bank, Burger King, C-File, Ron's Electric Motors, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, Airborne Freight and Cargo Services, Wendy's, the Digital Transformation Unit, and J.S. Johnson. The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by Commonwealth Bank, Burger King, C-File, Ron's Electric Motors, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, Airborne Freight and Cargo Services, Wendy's, the Digital Transformation Unit, and J.S. Johnson. The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by Commonwealth Bank, Burger King, C-File, Ron's Electric Motors, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, Airborne Freight and Cargo Services, Wendy's, the Digital Transformation Unit, and J.S. Johnson.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio. 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. Listen, when the show is late and it's my fault, I got no problem taking the blame or, you know, putting that on me. I was here, so Eric, I know what Ollie was doing. Day late. I've been here. You can see I got everything set up. I got my laptop, my book, my papers, everything, my drink. I was here, so don't blame me. All right? It's Tuesday. February 15th, 2022. We can get into a lot of what's going on in current affairs, but there's a couple of things I want to say from yesterday. And you know what? I listened to some of the shows yesterday, and it was a good use of their time talking about not only Valentine's Day, but relationships. We talked about the Disaster Reconstruction Authority and the whole thing with K4 Smith, which still I'm not convinced on, and I'm not going to stop talking about it because some of y'all think it's done for y'all. It ain't done. It's still out there. And then Iram Lewis is now talking his thing. But a couple of things. The first thing I want to say is I listened to quite a bit of Quincy's show just now, and he scared me talking about Roblox because my son plays Roblox and is on Discord, which is like the website to chat on Roblox, so I gotta pay attention to that. I gave him like $20 worth of Robux like Christmas, and then he came to me and said he needed more Robux, and I told him he's gotta like figure out a job he can do or some chores, or you know what I mean? I'm just gonna give you money because you know these games, that's how they make their money. You buying stupid stuff. Like, I used to play this one game, Clash of Clans or something like that. And, you know, you just, the thing you want is out of reach. Oh, it's a super new weapon, and you got to buy $50 worth of, like, gems or whatever like this. I've burned through hundreds of dollars, so I was like, you know what? This is a scam, right? I could buy a regular game. All those games are scams. Roblox, Fortnite, what else they got? They're scams, dude. They're just trying to press you to spend more money for no good reason, other than you like gaming. I like gaming too, but since I had kids, I haven't been able to play any video games. But he did frighten me enough to monitor this Discord thing, because my son, I know he talks to his friends on that, and my wife doesn't like it, but I'm like, you know, they're not in school full time, let them talk to their friends and all this other stuff. And my wife's like super hardcore, like she's like, no, no internet, no YouTube, no, no. And I'm like, yeah, let them, you know, have a go at it. Because I was a boy, too, and I, you know, the more you tell me don't fool with something, I try to go sneak behind your back and do it. And I'd rather you just do it in front of my face, unless it's darkness, right, than go behind my back and do it. You know what I mean? Like, my father would tell me that. He'd like, I'd rather you sit in this yard and drink with your friends than you go out to a bar and drink and drive drunk and all stuff like that. So that's precisely what me and my friends did. So I would also smoke cigarettes. I would go outside to smoke cigarettes, and my mother would be inside, like, coughing, like, oh, you're smoking cigarette smoke. I'm like, I'm outside. I'm nowhere near you. But she knew I was outside smoking. She'd be like, stop smoking. My sister would send me pictures of people who had surgery for emphysema and their lungs. And she was like, this is going to be you. You're gonna get emphysema and die. You should quit smoking. Anyway, I did quit smoking. It's been almost 10 years. But Quincy did shake me up talking about that. What is this? Are you still with BPL? Is that for me? That's for Quincy. How'd I get y'all business? If Quincy with BPL or not? Bahamians, they funny, you know. They feel entitled to know things, like, that really ain't none of your business. If he wanted y'all to know where he was at, he would have told y'all. I don't know if he answered it or not. Says Discord, you got to watch what channels he's on. It's open to anything. Twitch Gaming has various streamers too. Even Hot Tub Gaming now. Hot Tub Gaming. He's not on Twitch. So he's, yeah, he's just on Discord. So I got to watch that. You're not going to stop these kids from gaming. You're not going to stop them from... I try to monitor the electronics, right? And the they got everything now. Tablet, Switch, my son does. Laptop for school. My sister and my niece bought him an iPod. I had to go take the internet off of it, you know? He's like, oh, but I want to Google stuff. I was like, you can Google it, right? On this computer, sit down where I can see you. You could Google that. And he's telling me he wants a phone. I was like, you're 8. You don't need a phone. You know what I mean? You can have a phone like when you're a teenager or something like this. And he was like, Daddy, what were cell phones like when you were a kid? And I said, they were a figment of somebody's imagination when I was a child. Okay? When I was his age, it was 1985. All right? There were no cell phones. The best we had was Atari, and they had Pong. You ever played Pong? Pong's like where there's one bar on this side of the screen, and there's another bar on this side of the screen, and there's a little white square, like, ball, and Pong is like moving the joystick up and down to try hit the ball back and forth. My brother and I were on that like maniacs. And then they started coming out with computers. My brother started getting computers, Commodore, and all this. What are some of the other ones? Like, when I was a kid, Apple was called Macintosh or something like that. There were no cell phones when I was a kid. There were no tablets. There was no Switch. I got a Game Boy when I was like 14. There was nothing. Right? If you were extremely blessed, you got an Atari. When did that come out? Like 86, 87? There was nothing. Not even, no pager, no nothing. No computer, nothing. The computer was the size of your house if someone had a computer. Like IBM down here had like computers. A whole floor was just computers used to print out stuff. There was nothing, nothing. All right? Television came on at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It was only Z&S. And Sesame Street was the first thing that came on. If you were lucky, they'd play like Buck Rogers or Battlestar Galactica. If you were lucky, Saturday they started playing some cartoons. If you got a good, fancy enough TV, you could fool with the antenna, or you had the big UHF antenna you put on your roof. You don't even see those anymore. That's how much the world's changed. And you could maybe catch Miami. You know what I mean? My father had like the fancy like CB radios or whatever the hell you call them, and he could pick up like the foreign stations, and so he would listen to like the Haitian station and the Spanish station. He went to university in Puerto Rico, so he kind of could pick up on what they were saying. I had no idea what anyone was saying. We had nothing, nothing. We played outside, right? There was no TV. The VHS didn't happen until I was probably 11, 12 years old, right? You could go to the Shirley Street Theater every now and then. If you were feeling frisky, you could go to the Twin Theater or go watch some Kung Fu, a double feature. That was it. We have none of that. No streaming, no nothing. Nothing. Y'all are fortunate. There's too much for kids nowadays. It says Duck Hunt. Yeah, I remember Duck Hunt was a recent development. Duck Hunt was the 90s, eh? Remember you had the gun? When you shoot the ducks and the dog go pick up the duck? Punch Out, Mike Tyson. We lost our minds when Nintendo came out. We lost our bloody mind. All right? My friend Andrew, he got a Nintendo because his, you know, parents were more into getting that stuff for him. I would go stay by Andrew's house for the entire weekend. We'd just play Nintendo. That was it. And he had a pool, so we'd go in the pool too. All right. So, I don't know why I even said all that. Anyway, oh, we got a call? Sure, let's take a call. But I got something else. Something disturbed me profoundly yesterday that I want to talk about. And, you know, I don't know how successful I'll be, but you can chime in. All right? Oh, for Christ's sake. Hold on. All right. Don't hang up. I got you. I just need to do this. All right. I don't like to fake it. Like it's all organized. It's not. There's stuff all over the place. All right. I got you now. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello. Good afternoon. Are you there?
What?
Hey.
Quincy said on his 4 o'clock shows, suddenly he's no longer with BPL.
Oh, okay. Well, now I know. Okay. Appreciate it. Quincy's no longer with BPL. Now we know. I don't know what happened. I haven't spoken to him about it. All right. Okay. Text messages. Then I want to talk about something. It's probably not what you think. This says, finance officers at the Treasury are in a sick out. Oh, that's so unfortunate, because today was the day I was going to go up there and pay my real property tax. But since they're all sick, I probably will do that another day, since you're saying they're sick out. This says, 3rd of April 1973, Motorola on 3rd of April 1973 were the first company to mass produce the first handheld mobile phone. These early mobile phones are often referred to as zero-G mobile phones or zero-generation mobile phones. Most phones today rely on 3G or 4G mobile technology. Was this, you know what, now that you say that, I remember that the guys from Batelco, it was Batelco when I was a kid, by the way. BTC is more of a recent thing. The guys from Batelco, is this the phone where they would carry around like a satchel and there'd be like a huge thing in it and the phone was connected to that? Is that what we're talking about? Like this, they would talk via satellite? I think that's it. We didn't have access to any of that. We had walkie-talkies. My father bought some walkie-talkies. It was the size of this laptop screen, one walkie-talkie. And the antenna was like 3 feet long. You had to extend it and like go on the roof. And you could maybe catch someone in South Beach. We had nothing. These kids have everything nowadays. And I'm not paying for no Roblox. Robux, whatever it's called. It says Duck Hunt was 88. Oh, boy. All right, we got a phone call. Let's do it. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon.
I know what... on now right now.
Hello? No? Okay. So Duck Hunt was 88. Whenever the Nintendo came out, that's what we wanted. Like the stuff that you guys like turn your nose up at was incredible to me. Like He-Man, like when we could watch cartoons on Saturday morning. This was a new thing. They had the Saturday morning lineup. He-Man came out. My parents bought me like the Grayskull Castle. I lost my mind. I was totally into it. All right. Hey, Juan, you can't forget Frogger. I remember Frogger. This says, what I don't understand about parents today is that they're insisting that their child needs a phone in case of emergency. It just leaves me dumbfounded. To me, this is just an excuse to follow the crowd. I would say it depends on the age of your child. But if your child's under 10, let's say under 12 years old, and you're dropping them someplace or they're going someplace where an emergency could happen and there's no adult who you are not, there's no adult who you're in constant contact with, that's a problem. So my son does karate and I have the contacts for the people who run the dojo. My daughter does dance, and we have the contacts with people who are running the dance studio. My son does swimming. It is at his school. There is no circumstance under which they will have them leave. They have a WhatsApp group all the time, so they don't need no phone. Now, the people who are watching them need a phone. So, hey, one, you clearly grew up in the Stone Age. I was fortunate to be a child in the Bronze Age of the 90s, but it's still nothing compared to what these young kids got. Life was real sweet after the 2000s. Yeah. But here's the thing. I was a teenager in most of the 1990s or in my early 20s. I was either a teenager or in my early 20s, and I was in my 20s when 2000 hit. And you say I'm older than you, but I'll tell you this. The golden age of the Earth was between 1990 and 2002. Okay? That is uncomparable compared to any other, let's say, isolated decade, I think. All right? It says, where does your son do karate? It's on, where is it? Soldier Road, North. I give you the thing. Juan, can you give us a rundown of the fiscal responsibility bill at this moment? Actually, I want to talk to you about something different than the fiscal responsibility, which I could have talked to you about yesterday, but I was kind of dissecting the K Forbes thing. It says, kids may need phones, by the way, because the payphone system doesn't exist anymore, but I will agree that they don't need $1,000 phone just to contact their parents. Yeah, I was alive when there were payphones, right? Not only were there payphones, I was alive before they had widespread cordless phones. So my phone, my parents had a phone in their bedroom, and the other phone, there were no cell phones, by the way. The other phone, no pager, no nothing. The BTC guys, I think, had a form of pager. If you wanted to talk on the phone, you had to go in the front room, and there was a phone desk where there was the phone. It used to be a rotary phone, then they upgraded to a push-button phone, and there's a circular cord type thing that connects the handset to the phone. And as you got to be a teenager and people actually called to talk to you, if you wanted privacy, you had one of two options. You could get like a 50-foot actual phone cord that connected to the wall outlet and the phone, right? There were no cordless phones. Or they had like a 25-foot like long cord that connect from the handset to the actual phone, and you could like stretch the 25-foot cord around the corner or go in a closet. I would go in my father's study. And if one person was on the phone, nobody else could use the phone. Call waiting is a recent development. That happened in the 90s. Let me tell you how old I am. This is going to shock you. I'm so old that I remember when phone numbers in the Bahamas only had 5 digits. Say what? Phone numbers in the Bahamas used to have 5 digits. Okay? And as the number of people who were getting telephones in their home grew, they added 2 more digits. Right? So my number used to be 46998. All right, and you can remember that. If go look at an old phone book from like the early 80s. The numbers are 5 digits. And then at some point they switched to like add 2 more digits. And we were all like, I don't know about this. That's too much. I don't know how we're going to remember 7 digits. You're going to cause confusion. There's going to be chaos in the land. That's how old I am. So say you give out too much of your personal info. Yeah, I mean, you know. You don't need to know where my son goes to karate. It's true. All right, so remember dial-up internet. Yeah, yeah, I do. In fact, when I first went to university was when I first got familiar with internet. And we had email, right? And the internet was so bad that if you sent a picture, because you could send pictures, but they were all fuzzy, right? You had to scan the picture or have it on a floppy drive. And then they had the harder disk drive, remember? And the dial-up, you have to wait for the picture to load for like about 60 seconds. So you'd start to see the top of the picture, then the head, and then more. In any event, good times. Good times. All right. So we live in a parallel universe. My 8-year-old asking for a phone, too, to Google stuff. I said, ask me. I'm Google. There you go. Since 1992, the first digital revolution began, and during 1990 through 2002, we were in the height of the second technology revolution. Yes. Yes, in a space of about a decade to 15 years of my life, the entire world changed radically to something my grandparents would not recognize at a breakneck pace. All right. We got a phone call? Sure. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon.
Oh, we need justice, law, and order in this country, one.
I gotcha.
Right, one.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of things, probably three. When you said in the 90s was the golden age,
mm-hmm.
Explain that to me, because you lost me then.
Did you? How old were you in the 90s?
Me?
Yeah.
I'll put it like this.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember when you had to take on the telephone, they had a handle whereby you had to turn it.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I got blind in the 1960s, late 1960s.
Right. 68. I understand. Yeah. So if I can explain it to you, the 1990s was the decade that hip hop started taking over popular music. It was a decade where some of the best movies, groundbreaking movies, came out that were incredibly interesting. It was when pagers started to become widespread and we could communicate that way. It was when they first started putting rims on cars in the mainstream.
I'll say something to you, right?
Sure.
They were putting rims on cars in the earlier days.
Yeah, but that wasn't a widespread thing. The 90s saw that widespread.
Okay. And also, right, what I would call the golden age, right, when I was in my teens, right, 14, 15, funny books was the thing. You know, we could go in the store and buy funny books and we exchange it with our friends. If we were to read it and something we hadn't read as yet, we would exchange it with our friends.
Okay.
And that was the thing in those days when I was 14, 16, 17, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when I was 20, you know,
comic books.
I would call that the golden age, because when I look at situation today, it helped you with your vocabulary. But nowadays, the children hardly can read.
Okay.
Anyhow, thank you.
All right. So I wasn't dealing with no funny books in the 90s. I was on another run, which I'll explain to you here in a moment so that I can help you. Listen, and I'll say this before we go to a break, and I'll read a lot of your text since we're reminiscing. But I listened to several shows yesterday, and I didn't get a chance to actively listen to the hit back. But my wife was like, you got to hear this, dude. These people are wildin'. So I listened back to a significant portion of the hit back, and Kendanique Campbell was the host. She's doing a great job. And I was struck with a deep sense of sadness and otherworldness to listen to the number of people out there who are either completely disgusted by trying to foster and develop intimate relationships, as well as those who seem to have been hurt almost irreparably, and people who have somehow seem to have decided to live without intimate romantic love in their lives and believe that that is a normal state of being. Now, I'm not a financial expert, so I'm not giving you any professional financial advice, although I have my opinions. I'm not a fitness expert, so I'm not giving you any professional fitness advice. I'm not a doctor. I'm not giving you no professional health advice or no advice to do with COVID or none of that stuff. And I'm not a psychologist or some sort of relationship expert or life help person. So I can't give you any professional advice in that regard. But I'm going to try to go through a few things with you to maybe help you understand that you should have intimate relationships as a part of your life, particularly your adult life. And the fact that some of you seem to have been treated so poorly or have gotten used to the idea that bad treatment is normal, I got some things I want to talk to you about. But we're going to go to the break, and I'm going to discuss it on the other side as much as I can. We'll see what we can do. Juan, don't tell your son where your son should go to karate. Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. We're going to talk about this, too. I don't need life advice for everything I do and say, and I think that's part of the problem. And I know people are trying to be helpful. I don't need you to tell me to protect my children, all right? I've successfully raised them so far without any of your advice, but I do take your point. People don't need to know everything. I grasp it. Thank you for the input. We're good now. Let's go to a break. We'll be back.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
Burger King Nassau is taking spice to new heights with the new Baja Whopper and Baja Crispy Chicken sandwiches. Enjoy your choice of a flame-grilled Whopper or a crispy chicken filet topped with chipotle sauce, guacamole, jalapenos, cheese, lettuce, and tomato, all on a fresh potato bun. The new Baja sandwiches at Burger King Nassau pack plenty of flavor, and with an ice-cold Pepsi and fries or onion rings, it's the perfect way to fill your day. The Baja Whopper and Baja Crispy Chicken sandwich are only available at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important, So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the revolution. I'm Juan McCartney, so good to have you with us. Yeah, so anyway, and this isn't a critique of the show that Kendanik did. I listened to it, and I thought she did a good job. I was just kind of in shock over the sentiment that I saw or I heard expressed in what sounded like a consensus among people who were responding to her questions. I listened to a bit of it with the psychologist, but not most of it. And I tried to catch as much as I could on the replay. It's on YouTube, by the way, if you want to go check it out. Our shows are usually uploaded by noon the following day on YouTube. I'm not paying anybody for the theme music, I can tell you that. Anyway, never mind. So, we got a phone call? Sure. And I see some of your texts about the throwbacks, so we're gonna do that too. But again, I'm not a professional. I can't help you. But what I can perhaps give you is a bit of perspective so that you could understand that it's not a normal state of being to not have love in your life, not feel love in your life, not have an intimate romantic connection with somebody unless the circumstance is extreme, okay? I don't know what flavor you savor, right? I don't know if it's guys or girls or whatever's happening, or some of y'all are into both or whatever combination of what's happening out here nowadays. That's no problem. You go find love, go find intimacy where you can find it. Do what floats your boat, whatever butters your bread. Knock yourself out, all right? But I'm going to say this. The notion that love is something that is outside of any particular person's grasp doesn't make sense to me. And that you should set up your life to decide that whether it's you've been hurt, whether it's you've been lied to, you've been betrayed, X, Y, Z, whatever it is, that you should order your life so that it is absent an intimate romantic connection with somebody. It doesn't have to be sexual, but these things often develop into sex, but sometimes sex isn't an option, right? That you should order your life that that's not something that you're actively seeking or you're actively trying to cultivate, no matter how slowly you approach it, no matter how intentionally or methodically you go about it, is not good. But I do understand how you get there, all right? So I'm 45 years old. I'll be 46 in August, okay? In April, I will have been married for 10 years. So I got married when I was 35 years old, okay? And I turned 36 that summer. My wife got pregnant the following year, so we've been dealing with pregnancy, babies for 9 of those 10 years. And we dealt with some other stuff for some of that too. And I'm going to say this, and I'll tell you how I got here. About even after 10 years, and this is not talking out of school, it still takes work. All right? Now, what form the work takes, that's on you and your partner. Because for someone to sit on a radio and try to explain to me my relationship in terms that govern their relationship doesn't work for me. Because I'm not married to whoever you're referring to, and I'm not married to somebody who came out of a textbook and is just one way and fits into some particular archetype or stereotype, all right? Humans, no matter their level of education, no matter their level of affluence or lack thereof, are complex, oftentimes difficult, nuanced creatures. That's what makes us humans. The fact that we have such big brains and that we use so much of it, it goes beyond just the normal course of what pairs of a species tend to get up to together. We follow the normal patterns of most animal species on the planet. But ours is a life that is much, much, much more complicated and nuanced and interwoven with each other than any number of books could ever hope to explain. So I can't come here and go do XYZ with your wife, do XYZ with your boyfriend. I can kind of tell you some things that are common to men and women that don't always occur with all men and women, but maybe can make your life easier by listening to what someone else's experience is. So for you guys out there who are in your 40s, I can relate to where most of you are, just in terms of age, in terms of what your body goes through. Your body is not the same body. The chemical reactions in your body are nowhere near the same. Your brain does not function the same way. Your body doesn't function the same way when you're in your 40s as opposed to when you're in your 20s. All right? Life is a process of constant progression and evolution. And we become different as we move through life. Men become different is just how we're biologically wired. Men become different. They go through different stages of life. Women become different. They go through different stages of life. And whether it's some complete joke on the part of the universe or whether it is because of divine order, we are forced, for the most part, to go through this life together with each other when we often have vastly different interests as well as biological imperatives and thought processes. So for the most part, men and women often don't think the same. Some of that's nature, a lot of it's nurture. But men are taught to think differently than women, even though a lot of it comes naturally in the way we are biologically built, all right? So it's not easy, is what I'm trying to say to you. And it's not, in my opinion, supposed to be easy. It's not supposed to be overly difficult. But you should be able to, if you approach life in a realistic manner, with your wits about you, you should be able to have those intimate connections with people and not be alone and feel alone and decide that you're going to live your life completely devoid of that intimate connection with another human being. Because I'm going to tell you something now. I can't talk for everybody, for the most part. Everyone I've ever known, everyone I've grown up with, almost everyone I've ever met, they want that connection to some other person. And they're willing to do almost anything once they've found it to maintain it. You'll spend all your money. You'll make a complete fool of yourself. You'll move around the world. You'll immerse yourself in a culture that you never knew before or are unfamiliar with. You will fight. You'll go through a legal process, if you have to, that could last decades, to hold on to that. Because it's one of the most valuable things that you'll ever have. It's one of the most enduring things that you'll ever have. Right? So when I think about my life, and in terms of the worth of my life and memories that have solidified themselves in my life, there are those memories that are hardwired because of trauma, and there are those memories that are hardwired because of immense elation and joy, right? From the time you're a child. My most vivid earliest memory is my sixth birthday party, all right? And this sounds superficial, but for Christ's sake, I was six. My most vivid memory is my sixth birthday party, which was in Canada, okay? And my mom's sister lives in Canada, and she would often take us up there. And she took us up there for a summer, and I'm a twin, so my sister and I had a birthday the same time. And we had a birthday party at McDonald's, right? As basic as that sounds. We had a birthday party at Canada McDonald's. I told you how old I am, right? McDonald's looked different. It's evolved over the years. It looked different. They had like a two-story birthday thing, a ball pit, a ladder you could climb. They had the Grimace and Hamburglar swings and slides and seat, whatever, what do you call those things on the springs? You can move back and forth on the horses. And I remember my cousins being there who were my age and my brother being there. I remember it so vividly. And it was one of the best memories I've ever had in my life. It was one of the most elated circumstances of my life. One of the next memories I have that was hardwired in my brain was when my father would take us all to the beach. And my father had some property out Adelaide when nobody almost lived out Adelaide. And we would go out there on some Sundays. My father, when he wasn't working or whatever, and as we got older, he would work because he owned businesses, and we would spend a lot of Sundays by my grandmother. But we would go to the beach. And my parents had a station wagon that was brown and open in the back door. And my brother and I would sit in the back and put the door of the station wagon down. And we'd ride from out east where we lived all the way out to Adelaide, which seemed like a complete adventure. And we'd go on the beach and they'd bring us home. And we'd get ice cream or we'd get a treat. And there were beautiful times. And one of the memories I'm hardwired with is when I was on the beach, and this is how you Bahamians go. I know we got to go to the news break. And I was kneeling in the water, and I was about 9 years old, and I felt something pinch me, right? And so I got up real quick, and the water all around me started turning pink and then red with my blood, and there was a huge gash in my leg. And my mother and father tried to like wrap a towel around it to stop bleeding, but it wouldn't stop bleeding, and so I had to go to the hospital. Someone had broken a glass bottle and left it in the shallow of the water, and it slashed my leg open. And I had to go to the hospital, and I remember almost every moment of it. And I was crying because my leg was bleeding. And then the nurses came and they had to give me a needle to anesthetize my leg. And I was crying about that. And the nurses, I remember comforting me and trying to tell me what a strong young man I was and how handsome I was and I shouldn't be crying. And then I had to watch them stitch me up. And I remember that entire day because the strength of the emotions hardwired it in my brain. And those are just childhood memories. As you go forward in your life, the strength of emotions will hardwire memories to you that you never forget, right? Trauma and joy in particular. Now we got to go to news. I'm sorry, we ran over time. We'll be right back.
is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We were talking about nostalgia, and we were talking about what hardwires memories in your brain and in your heart, trauma, joy, intense emotion, fear, this sort of stuff. Hardwires your memories and makes them often something they'll never forget. I know people who tell me they can remember being a baby. I can't, not even close, right? So I'm in and out starting around 5 years old. And then after around six, like things really start to solidify. I can remember pretty well, all right? And I was talking about the importance of having a romantic connection in your life. And it seems, I want to say, on the face of it, naive, perhaps, a little sophomoric, that you should prioritize this trying to understand someone and be with someone and carve out a life with someone who's their own independent being and figure out how that all fits and works together. And it's not easy. It's trial and error, a lot of it. And a lot of it comes with a great deal of heartache. But at the end of the day, I think that's what is most worthwhile about being human, is our relationships with each other. I don't want to have relationships with all of you, but I think how we form these intimate connections really informs what our life is, all right? And so to me, it's worth it. I'd take none of it back. But I did learn from some of it, and I'll try to explain as best I can. Right? So, as I told you, I was a kid in most of the 80s. I was about 13 years old. So, I'll flash back for you. In the 80s, you got something called VHS. That's how old I am. My son saw a DVD the other day, and he asked me what it was, right? Because we hadn't watched DVDs since he was about two. Okay? He was watching a YouTube video, and they told him about VHS tapes. And when we went to my mother's house a few weeks ago just to check things out, like, he insisted that we find a VHS tape because he wanted to see what it looked like. All right? And we used to have hundreds of VHS tapes. I guess we threw most of them out. But I found a VHS. I found E.T. I'm sure he's going to ruin it, but it's dead technology. Where are you going to find a VCR nowadays? Well, my parents, the VCR is still there. It doesn't work. And he asked what it was. I said, that's a VCR. He goes, why is this huge thing to play this one tape? I go, it's what it was, bro. You should have seen the TV. Like, he didn't believe that the TV that's on the floor in my mom's house, like, was an actual TV. He's like, you watch TV on that? I go, yeah. He's like, how do you put it on the wall? I go, it doesn't go on the wall. It goes on the floor. That's what you watch TV on. In any event, we had a VHS player, and there were several stores around Nassau that made quite a handsome living renting VHS tapes, Cody's, Super Video, etc. Again, around 1989, I was about 13 years old, and I was not old enough to be trusted to rent any VHS tapes because I was probably going to actively seek out pornography at that age. But my brother, who's 4 years older than I am, my parents would trust him, and he could drive the time to go get VHS tapes. And I'm 13 years old. My brother and I were tight, right? I want to see an R-rated movie. I don't know about you. So that's what I'm into. I want to see an R-rated movie. I'm with the Lethal Weapon. I want to see some cussing, some killing. That's what I'm down. I want to see like the Predator rip folk head off. That's what I'm into. Anyway, my brother rented this movie, and I didn't want to watch it. And the movie's name was called Moving with Richard Pryor. I don't know if any of you have ever seen this. Richard Pryor, like Randy Quaid, it was in Vacation. He's in that. In any event, in the most important thing I remember about the movie Moving was the actress who played Richard Pryor's daughter in that movie. And her name was Stacey Dash. Okay? Now, if you're from the 80s and 90s, you'll understand what I'm talking about here. Stacey Dash is one of the finest women to ever live, right? Of any race, ethnicity, whatever. Go look her up if you don't believe me. FYI, she did a Playboy shoot. It's available on the internet. But Stacey Dash, in any event, was one of the most beautiful women to ever live. And when I saw her, I was like, this is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my entire life on any medium, on any book, magazine. And I was in love with Stacey Dash. If there were a way I could figure out how to get in touch with Stacey Dash, I would have been one of those weirdos who sends postcards, right? Like in my mind, Stacey Dash and I, even though she was older than me, we were in a relationship, right? She was my girlfriend. Okay. So Stacey Dash was hardwired in my mind, and she started to become the archetype of beauty that I was into. So fast forward a few years, and I'll explain to you about the first time I fell in love, all right? And from what I can remember, I've been in love 4 times, like real love in my life. I'm not going to call any names. Fast forward a few years later, I was in Junior Achievement, right? And the good thing about Junior Achievement is they put you together with kids from all sorts of schools, right? So I was in private school, and you're in Junior Achievement, and you're put in companies with government school kids, girls, boys, all together, and you have to work together as a company. Junior Achievement is a great organization, by the way. And so with Junior Achievement, you get to have a lot of activity days with other Junior Achievement companies from throughout New Providence, from throughout the Bahamas, and meet all sorts of new people. So one Junior Achievement day, okay, this was at R.M. Bailey Auditorium. I'll never forget this as long as I live. One Junior Achievement day, and it was just me. I was probably like 15 or 16, right? And I was chubby in high school. It is what it is. They had hundreds of government school students and private school students at the Junior Achievement thing at R.M. Bailey Auditorium, right? And you had to wear your school uniform. I don't know why. Junior Achievement. And among the hundreds and hundreds of students there, I saw a girl who looked like Stacey Dash. She was the most beautiful creature I'd ever seen in the Bahamas, right? And she went to a government school. She went to S.E. McPherson. I'm not going to explain it. When I think of S.E. McPherson now, I think of her. In fact, I believe she's a teacher now. But never mind. This girl looked like Stacey Dash, right? And she went to S.E. McPherson. I made it my business to track this girl down and find out her name and introduce myself and begged her for her phone number, all right? And maybe it was just an overarching sense of pity because this girl looks so good. She gave me her phone number. All right. And we would talk on the phone, and my phone game has always been solid, right? My in-person game, I had to work on it. My phone game has always been strong, right? And so we talked on the phone all summer, right? And I found out where she lived, and she lived in the hood, right? So I'm not trying to knock the hood. She lived in Anglerston, okay? My grandmother also lived in Anglerston. And by the time I was like 15, 16, I wasn't really down to go to my grandmother's house all the time because my grandmother didn't have no VHS player, right? Or satellite. We had satellite, not cable at the time, right? My grandmother had no video games or computer or sound system. My brother had all that at my house. So I was trying to spend that time at my or my friend's house who had that, right? I tell you what, I started going to my grandmother's house that summer, right? And it wasn't enough to just go to my grandma's house. And my cousin Kwame, he probably remembers this. He grew up with my grandmother. He lives in New York now. I would beg him to go with me to go see her. And I would bribe him with, like, junk food, right? Because my grandma didn't keep a lot of junk food. And so my parents would give me, like, some money. I'd be like, I want to go by my grandma's. I want to go, you know, get some chicken or something like that. And my dad, he was just like, yeah, sure, here's 20 bucks, you know? And so I'd bribe my cousin Kwame to go walk up there with me, all right? And she had, like, a bunch of brothers and all this, and they didn't like me because I was some soft private school boy. But anyway, I went to go see her all I could, and I would talk to her through the fence. That's how, and I was in love, right? And that would take me throughout the rest of the week, yeah? My father had a business on Bahama Avenue in the Grove, right? In English, the building's still there. And I convinced my father to let me work there for the entire summer. Okay. And I did as little work as possible. And I would ask my cousin Kwame to come with me. And sometimes my sister would come. And every day I would go walk to this girl's house and walk her back. And we'd like sit in the yard or the parking lot of my father's business. And the farthest I ever got was a kiss. But I was totally in love. Right? Now, I said I was in love. She was not, right? She was just getting to know me, and it was summer and all this. And when school started again, and I was so looking in my head, like Stacey Dash, I'm thinking she's my girlfriend, except her I could touch and kiss. In my head, I'm thinking we got a thing going on, and I'm in love, and we're going to be together forever, and our kids are going to look like little Stacey Dashes. All right. Turns out she had a boyfriend, right? And he wasn't in high school. He was grown. All right? And she was not interested in continuing speaking to me after her boyfriend found out that I was coming to visit her and she was coming to visit me. And her boyfriend also lived in Anglerston. Okay? So that was the first time I was in love. Totally broke my heart. All right? And here's the lesson I learned from that. It's that if you're in a relationship, no matter how attracted you are to the other person, make sure that you have a mutual level of interest and commitment to this relationship. All right? Because I was so lost in my head and my dreams of Stacey Dash that certain basic questions and signals I just did not understand. And Lord bless him, my cousin Kwame knew this guy. He probably would have beat me up for messing with this girl. But I just stayed away from her after that. All right, so that's the first lesson I learned the first time I fell in love. Make sure you're both in love. Make sure you both want this relationship, that you're not more committed than the other person. Make sure the other person isn't already in a relationship. And that way, you could spare yourself a lot of heartbreak. I'm sorry, we got... But guess what? It was worth it. It was worth it, and I used to suck face with a girl who looked like Stacey Dash, and she was beautiful. She still lives in Nassau, too. I won't say her name. So... I saw her sister like a few years ago before I met my wife when I came back home. And I'll tell you that story about coming back home. And I was like, I wanted to marry your sister. And she was like, I know, right? And she go, but she's already married now, Juan. And I go, no problem. I'll move on. All right, we got a phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, Juan. You know, I hear you talking about those nostalgia, those memories. And when you talk about the station wagon, I can remember my grandfather. We were living down in Oaksfield at a ready mix. We had a six roundabout. And he used to put all of us, I don't know how he used to get it, but we had about 10 or 11 of us to get in a station wagon to go to Monte Cuda, the beach.
Oh, nice.
I can remember that. Another thing was etched in my mind, I can never forget. Great Stirrup's Key, where the lighthouse is. He used to be the lighthouse keeper. And then we used to go down there because my mom used to work to the U.S. site down there as a chef. And he used to take him and be. And we used to go there, and I can remember that right now, Juan, that he used to wake us up to go to, you know, you had to get up every Satan about 3 to 4 hours to wind the tower, to keep the tower go, keep the light going. And I can remember that so vividly right now, like it just was happened like yesterday. He taught me how to build bird traps. And one of these days I can make one, I can bring it to you out just out of the pieces of wood or stick. And you could set it, and you go back, because he showed us how to put the tripwire in it, and the bird, you could have tobacco dove or the wood dove go in it and knock it down themselves. You don't have the video with the string to pull it. And I can remember that so vividly right now. Also, my grandfather bought me my first shotgun, because I didn't have a dad, and I'm not ashamed. My dad wasn't there, so I didn't know my dad at all. So he was my father and everything. And he bought me my first single-gauge shotgun. And, you know, the pack of shots, it holds 25 in it. And I used to go shooting. One time I went out and shooting, you know, we're shooting on the wing, the pigeons on the wing flying, right? I missed two. I got 23 out of the 25 pack, the bird flying, the pigeon flying and shooting on the wing.
Excellent.
And so those memories are so vivid in my mind. I'll never, never forget my grandfather because, like I said, he was the father to me. And but those lighthouse tower, winding that tower was awesome, man.
That's incredible, man. Great story. I got 100 more stories, man, I remember with my family. These are the things that inform you. So when, like, people jump up and act like they sprang fresh from the womb, this fully formed individual who understands the world perfectly, I don't believe them. Like, you're shaped by your experiences. You're shaped by your family, whether you want to be or not. These are the things that shape you. Because when you're a child, somebody's taking care of you or somebody's responsible for you. Whether they do a good job or a bad job, those things inform who you are as well. And we're all just trying to figure out in this lifetime exactly who we are and exactly what we want and exactly what we're doing. All right? We'll take another call. I told you I was in love 4 times. I'll see if I can tell you all 4. And in case you didn't pick up on it already, judging from the last 15 years of my life I've told you about, all but one of these stories ended well. All right. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello. Good afternoon. No? Okay, great. Let's move on. I see your text message. It's fine. I just want to tell you these stories. I'm not calling any names. All right. I went to university in Oklahoma, okay? So I attended Tulsa Junior College for about a year, just over a year. I was with my sister because my aunt lived in Oklahoma. And then we both moved to the University of Oklahoma. And in your head, I don't know how many of you have been to Oklahoma. In your head, you're probably thinking that Oklahoma is like a barren wasteland of people and there's not a lot going on. And for the most part, when I went to school, that was true. Except when I went to the University of Oklahoma, there were about 50,000 people, 20,000 of whom were university students living in one town. All right? And it was chock full of girls. Okay? Didn't even make sense. And so for years, that's all I was into, right? Chasing girls, some schoolwork in here and there, chasing girls, right? In any event, when I was in university, I met a girl, an American girl, right? Black American. Well, her father was from Iran, and her mother was Black American. I met a girl, and I fell in love, all right? And this wasn't like Stacey Dash love. This was like love, right? Like the kind of love where you think or you believe that if you're not able to be with this person, you're going to fold up into a ball and die. That kind of love, right? And I'd never felt anything like that in my life. And everything was just straight up and down. We were completely attracted to each other. We loved to be with each other, and it was all good, and it was all great. And eventually, I had to finish school, all right? And I'm Bahamian, she's an American. And I got a job where I could stay. And I stayed because of her, okay? My ties to America weren't that strong, and they were mainly her. Because her, I wanted to have a life with, and I wanted to be with forever. I had no earthly idea how that would work. I didn't understand completely what marriage was. It's just like you're together forever, and that's what I wanted. I didn't understand what raising a family entailed or buying a house would entail or any of this stuff. I didn't have it figured out. All right? I just knew I wanted to be in love. So the opportunity came for me to get a better job. From a guy I worked with before, he moved to a different state, and he offered me a job making quite a bit more money where he was. And so as deeply in love as I was and was living with this girl for a number of years, all right, wanted to be with her forever, I moved to a different state. And this is what happens when you're young. You go, we can have a long-distance relationship. That's fine. All right. I would drive back. It was something like a 5-hour drive each way. I would drive back on weekends. She would come up sometime. And that continued for about a year. And it was all fine and it was all great. And we were talking about getting married. And we discussed what we would do when she was finished school. All right. And unfortunately, what happens with a lot of people, which are young people, is sometimes out of sight is out of mind. And no matter the connection you feel to someone, the world is filled with millions of people, some of whom you will be as attracted to, and you will have an automatic connection with that is really strong. And if you're not careful, you can find yourself straying and doing the wrong thing. And that's what happened to me. I started to stray and do the wrong thing. And I'll tell you this, and my wife tells me not to talk my business, but I don't care because, you know, you'll never put it all together. But I was straying and doing the wrong thing, right? And I would hang up and go, yeah, night, love you. And then I would be gone somewhere else, you know, 3-4 in the morning, you know? Remember I told you how when I was a kid, there were no cell phones? When I was in my 20s, there were cell phones. And your cell phone bill came to your residence every month. And it detailed all of the calls that you'd make. The problem with my cell phone bill was that the bill was still coming to the place that I lived in Oklahoma with the girl I was in love with. And when I say she was a great girl, she was a great girl. Not jealous, not a lunatic, none of this. Didn't go through your stuff, like how you guys be dipping and diving and putting all kind of encryption on your phone so nobody looks at it. It wasn't like that. right? And so I figured out while I was away that, you know what, I don't want to run around on this girl. I want to be with this girl, all right? And so I asked her to marry me, right? Shortly after I figured out that I didn't want anything to do with a different girl, and that was just a fling. And I asked her to marry me, and she said yes, and we were going to get married, and we're still living separately, and we're planning to get married. However, about 6 weeks after I asked her to marry me, my cell phone bill came back to the apartment. And I don't know if it was the devil or like the Holy Spirit or whatever, but the girl who never went through my stuff opened my phone bill and saw dozens of calls at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning to the same number over and repeatedly. So she called this number and another woman answered. And I suppose you can understand what happened after that. So there was no more engagement and there was no more relationship. And there was nothing I could do to fix it. And eventually she moved on. All right? So here's what I learned from that. So the first thing I learned is, before you say you want to get married and you want to spend your life with someone, figure out what that means. So when you tell someone you want to marry them, or you ask someone to marry you, that's not a soft commitment. All right? That's a lifetime thing. And that means that before you get married and after you get married, there can't be anyone else that occupies any other part of your interest or attention or physical affection, or it's not gonna work. Before you say to someone you want to get married and you want to spend the rest of their life with them, figure out how you're going to make a life together. Figure out what it takes to have a home, to raise children. You understand? To navigate relationships where you are going to be distant often from your family. Because, again, I was one of the only Bahamians around. And I was surrounded by Americans. And it wasn't my home. But for that one relationship, I was willing to be away from my home. I wasn't coming back. Y'all wasn't going to hear from me no more. I was going to be there with her. Right? Before you dive in and think you're a grown-up, you should have your life in order first. And you should make sure that no other interest or women are occupying your space. All right, so be serious before you ask a woman to marry you, to trust you, to be with you forever. I was not. All right, and through my own fault, I had my heart broken, and everything I wanted fell apart. Okay? That was the second time I was in love. And as you move forward, you learn from it. And so here's what I'll say to young men. You're going to be in college, and you're going to want to go wild. Yes? You may not be in college, and you'll be in the workforce after you leave school. You'll be learning a trade, and you're going to want to go wild. You got some money in your pocket. You're getting attention from grown women. You're going to want to go wild. Figure out what you're doing with your life first before you involve somebody else in it. Because I didn't understand what I wanted to do with my life. I only understand I wanted my life to be with her. So figure your life out first. And here's where I'll help you. If you're not, and you have to assess your life properly, if you're not as financially resourced as you should be, I'm not saying you have to be rich, but you have to be able to take care of yourself. And if you ask a woman to marry you, you're going to have to be able to take care of her too. She can help. But when you marry a woman, she's going to be looking to you to figure most of this out, or to at least have a plan that she can participate in or play a key role in for you guys to have successful lives. All right? I'm not saying you got to be rich, but to have a successful life is when you ain't stressed out all the time about bills. You don't know where you're going to live. You don't know. You don't have enough money. You got kids. You can't take care of them properly. You don't want that, particularly as a young man. And so what happens with a lot of young men is that they will enter these relationships and it's all good and we're not using birth control and we're not being careful and you're going to get this woman pregnant and you're going to freak out because you're not ready to actually take care of another human being. And you know this out there because you guys have kids. They require a lot of attention and a lot of resources. And your life is no longer your own. But you have a lot of young men, they get the woman pregnant, even though y'all were together making love, making promises to each other forever. And it just got a little too real for you, and so you want your distance. And now it's this woman who's got to really take the responsibility and be the leader in her life and your child's life. All right? So before you do all that, if you know you're not financially resourced, if you can tell yourself that, you know what, I'm not really mature enough to make a lifetime commitment yet at this age and all that that entails, before you do that, make sure you are either very carefully using protection or have a standing appointment with your hand, okay? You and your hand are now dating. Right? And you don't have to involve anybody else. And your hand's not going to get pregnant or give you an STI. You and your hand can figure it out until you get your stuff together. So I say that to say, until you're kind of on the right track with where you want to be, don't worry about no woman. Right? I know you want to. Don't worry about it. Leave her alone. Right? You'll both be better off for it. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We believe in relationship banking. We take pride in getting to know our clients. You have access to knowledgeable, approachable ambassadors and financial coaches so that we can recommend the best product for you. At Fidelity, we care about you. From your financial health to your physical health, we can relate to you because we're just like you. Come and start your relationship banking experience with us today. Visit us online at fidelitygroup.com, visit any of our branches in Nassau or Grand Bahama, or phone 356-7764 in Nassau, or 352-6676 for Freeport.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
There's only one way to have a better morning.
How?
Start your mornings the best way with our 2 for $6 breakfast sandwiches at Wendy's. For a limited time, choose any two of your favorite breakfast sandwiches, including the fresh Kraken Sack Muffin, honey buttermilk chicken biscuit, double sausage muffin, or the sausage egg and cheese biscuit. Wash it all down with our cold brew shake or coffee. Better mornings always start at Wendy's. Wendy's, different inside and out. Excludes airport locations.
Good day, Airborne Freight and Cargo Services. How may I help you today?
Hey, listen, I just heard about you all, man.
Yes, sir. How may I help you, sir?
I hear you all giving out free drinks. And I's a mom with 12 children. I love free drinks.
Well, yes, sir. If you're ordering with Airborne Freight and Cargo Services for the first time, we will be giving you prizes just for shipping with us.
Hold on, wait. What are you all giving out, sir?
Well, we're giving away gas vouchers, coupons from various outlets, up to 20% off your shipping fee, and so much more.
Could y'all please stop slamming my door? None of y'all pay no bills inside you. Sorry about that, Mom. Hey, y'all is shipped double shoulders because this woman expecting twins again, Dred.
Airborne Freight and Cargo Services. Get rewarded for being a new customer on top of our ready low rates. Call us at 377-0450 or visit us on Facebook at Ship Airborne for more information.
Children are a blessing and should be treated with love and care. They deserve safe, stable, and nurturing relationships, a supportive family environment, and positive social networks. Mothers, fathers, teachers, aunties, uncles, neighbors, Bahamas, let's do our part to stop the physical, sexual, and mental abuse of our children. Make the calls, file the reports, save precious lives. Let's join hands and hearts and say no more to child abuse. This message was brought to you by CFAL. Growing wealth for future generations.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. Again, I'm no relationship expert. You can take this advice or leave it alone. It doesn't matter to me. I know that things have worked out for me. Totally up to you. You disregard it. You live the life you want to live. Just hearing how deeply cynical and unhappy so many people sounded on Ken Danique's show, I thought that maybe some perspective on the fact that relationships are difficult and don't often work out could help you. But you do what you need to do. So this person says, Juan, it doesn't go like that. Women need to have a plan and have money when they come to marriage. The idea that a man needs to take care of a woman is old school. And young people don't subscribe to that. Sorry to tell you that. I dislike older men trying to school young guys and do not know today's dynamics. I'm going to help you out with today's dynamics, okay? Since you're a young guy and I don't have to school you, all right? From the dawn of time until right now, because I'm not in your dating scene, but I do listen to all your music and watch some of the stupid stuff you guys watch on the internet. From then to now, women like men who have a plan, who will incorporate them in that plan, and who they don't have to figure things out for. So I'm guessing you're single. That I don't know today's dynamics. Because I'm surrounded by people of different ages in my occupation. And the women who are 19 years old, I'm sorry, let me back that up. The women who are 17, 18 years old, who are working at fast food establishments, they are looking for a man who has some sort of plan. You know what the adage is? These young N-word ain't into nothing. They just dumb and want juice and ain't serious about life. That's how a lot of young women see these young men out here. Right? So you can walk through life hoping you're going to find some woman where you're going to go on a 50-50 with. But at the end of the day, a woman's a woman because that's who she is. When a woman has a child for a man, she's not looking to figure out what's equal or how we can split things down the line. She wants you to have a plan to take care of this child. no matter what age she is, from the time she's able to have the children and beyond. And that dynamic holds true among every ethnic group, among every race, and it's more true for certain races, that women are looking for men who do have some sort of plan and some direction that their life is going in that they want to be a part of. So you do you. I'm not the relationship guru. But if today's dynamics are working so well, then how come so many of you are so unhappy? Explain this to me. All right? I have nieces who are in their teenage years. I have cousins who are in their 20s, 30s. Their story don't change, bro. They ain't looking for no dude they got to help figure things out for. They want you to have a plan and have a direction. And if you're going to be the man and you're going to be around here, right, and you want some all the time, you got to be starting to figure things out. But you don't have to listen to me. You can take the next 10, 15 years and figure it out if you'd like. But they don't change. I'm going to tell you that. Now, you could have a conversation to where it says, well, if my wife makes X amount, she can contribute this, and that's what she's able to contribute. Maybe she makes more than me, yes. But in terms of her figuring out stuff on an equal footing with you and figure stuff out for you, these women don't want that. From the brokest to the richest. Believe me when I say it. All right, let's do some more text. I know you guys gotta wait to hear the other two times. I'll tell you the last time I fell in love. All right? It was 15 years ago. And I was working in Love 97's newsroom. And I started there on April 1st. And they told me about another young lady who was also hired who was starting there because they were starting a TV division at Jones Communications. And her birthday was April 2nd. So she took her birthday off, and I didn't get to meet her until April 3rd. And when I met her, I looked at her and I said, this is one hot young chick, right? I was 30. And she had just turned 22. Her birthday was the day before. And I go, this is hot stuff right here. And the first words that came out of her mouth when she was talking to my coworkers was about her boyfriend. And I go, oh, okay, I see. All right. So I didn't say anything. All right? I didn't say anything to her. I left her alone. In fact, I think she thought I didn't like her. But my usual modus of operation is, if I can't have you and nothing's going to happen, I don't even want to be friends. I don't want to be cool. Let's just leave each other alone. All right? So anyway, she apparently was having issues with her boyfriend. I heard a word or two here and there. And in October, someone asked her about her boyfriend in the newsroom. And she said she dumped him. This was in the newsroom. And the very next day, I asked her if she wanted to go see a movie. And the movie is called 30 Days of Night. It's a vampire movie. You go look it up. It's actually a good movie. And I got an issue about movies, right? I don't like to miss the beginning of the movie. I don't even like to miss the movie trailers. I don't like to miss the beginning of the movie. So the movie starts at 3 o'clock. I sit down in the movie 3 o'clock. All right, because the movie starts, I want to see the movie. Anyway, I waited outside Galleria Cinemas and the Mall of Marathon's food court. I was early, and I waited outside, and it was getting nigh on 3. And she didn't show up. And so I bought 2 tickets already. So I went to the concession stand, I got my popcorn, and I went and sat in the movie, and I go, Jesus, I can't believe this girl would stand me up, right? I was like, maybe it's because we work together or whatever. It's like that. I was like, I guess it's not meant to be. So anyway, about 10 minutes into the movie, I hear somebody like loud whispering my name You know where people think they're whispering? But they're really talking loud, but they try not to say it in a boisterous tone. And it was the girl I work with. And I'll never forget. She was wearing a blue jean skirt and some heel sandals and a white t-shirt. And she had her sweater with her. And when I saw her come into the movie, and I realized that she hadn't stood me up, and she said she thought that I had not shown up, I felt the feeling that I hadn't felt in a very long time. And since we saw that movie, we've not been apart. And now we've been married for 10 years come April. And what I've learned from my wife is that you are going to get married and you're going to be in love. And my wife was in her 20s when we got married. And so fine, right? there was no problem with me saying, yes, we can do this. All right? But you're going to struggle as a married couple just trying to navigate around each other's personalities and each other's feelings. And it's been almost 10 years, and I hope it's another 30, right? But I don't take for granted every day that I'm not living with someone who can read my mind. I'm not living with someone who I can't ignore. I'm not living with someone who's perfect. And I'm with her because of all the things that make our relationship great. What's perfect about it and what's imperfect about it. But you're going to have patience. Here's what women don't understand about a lot of men. Men don't want to be alone, but men want to be left alone. A lot of men, a lot of the time. And that's difficult because every woman I've known doesn't want to be left alone. They want your attention. And so as a man in a relationship, and again, I'm not a relationship expert, you guys do whatever you'd like. You're going to have to exercise a great deal of patience and sacrifice a lot of what you would covet as your own personal space and time in order to allow this woman that you love and you told you want to build a life with and you stood up in front of all her family and friends and said you would take care of her and her father gave you to her, gave her to you. And you signed your documents and all the stuff and you made your friend buy stupid tuxedos and your bridesmaids bought weird dresses, right? You're going to have to find space in your life in order to let her be a part of it. And there are going to be times when you don't feel like I want to give 100% today. And you feel like I want to keep and carve out a part of myself just for me, even after 15 years of being together. And the issue with women that I found is, if you're going to be in it with them, they want all of you. And when you start carving out parts of yourself to keep away from her, even if you think it's because you don't want that part of you that you think determines who you are at your core to be influenced by someone else, you owe it to her to share that. And to the extent that you can do that, and to the extent that you can be in love and have your heart broken, I didn't tell you about the third time, but that ended badly too. To the extent that you can make your relationships worthwhile to the point when you're going to bed at night and you're thinking about it, that the good far outdistances anything uncomfortable or overly complicated or bad about the relationship, then you've been successful. Because again, it's not easy. It's difficult to live with someone for years. It's difficult to make your wife happy, to make your children happy, to make yourself happy as well. You may end up bitter, but at the end of the day, you should know that if you give it your best shot, if you're open, if you're honest, if you keep finding more and more love to direct toward the situation, it's all worth it. You shouldn't be alone, and you shouldn't be without romance, and you shouldn't be without intimacy. Because what in the hell is the point of living if you have to live without that? That's going to do it for the show today. Thank you for tuning in, your texts, your calls. We couldn't get to them all. I hope that brought a little bit of perspective to the vitriol and the heartache I heard. But hearts are meant to be broken. And they're meant to be mended too. So don't give up. We got to get out of here. You guys take care. Have a great day, Bahamas.